Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparral Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. Paul Ramo in his usual position at the control panel. Starting things off here at 8:30 with girls golf, Kip Stender. And just one event, but it was a big one this week, Kip, huh?
Yes, we had the Camden Conference Championships held down at the Tyler Country Club down in Tyler. Very nice course. We were down there the Friday before, and so the girls did a nice job. We came in second place on the day and finished second in the conference for the year, so that was a really good achievement. That was our goal. We got our score under 370, shot a 369 team score, okay. Finishing second. Dawson was first with a 336. Community Christian finished third with a 399, and Lakeview was fourth with a 450. Lakeview won the south half. Basically, they were the only team so all three teams from the north finished top three. Individually on the day, we had Molly Halverson winning the tournament that day with a nice score of a 75.
Wow.
Lindsay Lund was second with 77. Alyssa Swedinski was third with an 84. Tyler Yomlin was third with an 84. Peyton Sachs finished fifth with 87. Kate Alstead was sixth with a 90. Claire Stratmone shot a 91 for seventh. And then our remaining Eagle golfers were America Villa shot a 117, Macy Zarbuck a 119, and Kaylee Nelson a 119. And so that was the conclusion of our regular season. We were going to have an event in Minnewaska on Friday, but that got canceled due to the weather. We were really looking forward to that opportunity to play up there and get some experience on some really fast greens and things like that, but it wasn't to be. All-conference was also selected that day, and Molly Halverson, Kate Alstead, and Peyton Sachs earned all-conference honors for their scoring averages for the season during their conference season. And so that was really good for them, those girls. We did have a JV junior high meet in Raymond on Thursday, and Gertie Sieg and Hannah Oy golfed their last meet for the Eagles. Short career, one year, but it was a joy to have them out, and it was fun to coach them, watch them grow, and how much they improved from day one until Thursday. So they had smiles on their face, and it was good to watch them finish their last hole for both girls there, and was glad they came out, and glad they were part of our team this year.
Sure.
And then we have coming up is sections. So we're in what we call postseason as of the conference championship on Tuesday. So it's time to be at your best and try to, the mental part is what's key now. They put in the work. That's the thing that people don't see for some of these girls and like the Dawson team, how good they are. They got a really good team and the amount of work that they've put in to get there and the amount of work that our team does to get to where we're at. It is more than other teams, and that's why we are usually a little better than the other teams. But that goes behind the scenes. That's what the people don't see. So they see the results. They see the success. But there's a reason for that, and that's the hard work that these girls do and the coaches and the program. So we're looking forward to going over to Eagle Creek, having a great first day, and have a week to kind of practice in between the two Wednesdays. It's a unique that it's a week apart, your two rounds that qualify you for state, and the top team plus the next five individuals will get that honor to represent our section at state. And I think when I last looked, and I don't look that often, but I think like eight of the top 10 golfers are from our section. So it's a tough section. It's fun. It's a very competitive, and it'll be a good day.
So it starts this coming Wednesday in
yes.
Wilmer, and at what time?
10 o'clock, I believe, is the
okay.
tea time, and it's tea time, so the girls will get a tea time in advance. And one group we tee off on holes 10 this first day for sure. I don't know if it rotates to hole 1 on the second day, but hole 10's our starting hole, which is nice. It fits us a little better for the way we hit the ball and how we play the game. So hopefully get off on a strong start and carry us over into the front nine.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Wednesday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Kip.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Kip Stender on Girls Golf. Barry Bessonen is in the studio, and we'll be talking the boys' side after this.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Bellingham Farmers Elevator is a full-service cooperative with agronomy, grain, feed, and petroleum. Bellingham Farmers Elevator celebrates May as National Beef Month and thanks their feed customers. Contact Bellingham Farmers Co-op at 320-568-221 sales about their feed mill in Bellingham. Ask about custom blends and delivery. Visit bellinghamfarmerscoop.com.
Back here at the station, talking boys golf with Barry Bessonen, and you just heard what the girls did in the conference, and now it's your turn, Barry.
Yes, we as well. Tuesday, we're down to Tyler for the conference tournament to kind of wrap up the season, determining not only the team champion for the season, but also all the all-conference members. And we came out and played very well, had our low score of the season, shooting 315. And nice, I've said before, you get 320 and below, you're playing some really solid golf. And we were able to shoot 315, which was great, especially with the conditions. It was very hot. It was extremely windy. And, of course, you know, the course was set up to be, you know, it'd be a little more challenging. Greens are a little faster when we were there on Friday. And just with the conditions, we came out and you know, really played well and had a great day. However, the unfortunate thing, even though we won the conference tournament, we ended up second in the overall season standings because of the points that we use for the regular season meets. And Lakeview ended up the conference champion, and we ended up second to them. I think we needed them to, with us winning, we needed them to come in about fifth place on the day, and they came in third on the day, so we ended up close second. Overall, we went 315 for first. Central Minnesota Christian was second at 320. Lakeview was third at 325. Dawson Boyd was fourth at 327, followed by Canby at 336, and then went Mineota Community Christian, Yellow Medicine East, McRae, RCW, TMB, and then Ortonville rounded out the field. Individually for us, we were led by Carson Bessonen, who had a tied for third, shot 76 on the day. So I was tied for third. Two Lakeview kids both shot 73 for a medalist. You know, Carson was there, and he had one take a bad bounce on a hole and turned into what could have been a birdie into a bogey, and had a three couple three putts coming in, but given the conditions, not a bad score. Shot 77, played very well for us on the well. He started his day with a double bogey and rallied from that. Caden Stender shot 80. Great day for Caden, his season low, and he started his day with a triple bogey and responded very nicely. Caden's starting to hit the ball well, and obviously an 80 is a great score in that situation as well. Noah Arndt shot 82. Another great score. Noah starting to find his form again. Had a couple rounds there where he was a little up and down. Played great at Valley, and then he didn't play well the next time out, and he came back this time. So hopefully he's finding his form and some consistency. Aaron Bond also shot 82, a career low for him. Just real steady, hits it down the fairway, gets it on the green, makes pars and bogeys. He keeps the game very simple. And then rounding us out was Gavin Carl, shot 95 for the day. So Gavin's an important player that hopefully we can get him going for the sections coming up here, get him back on form. So that was our team score for each of our players. We did also determine the all-conference team members, and we had three players make all-conference. Carson Bessonen made all-conference. I think he ranked second in the conference overall behind Carson Bowe of Lakeview, and I think they were running pretty close until, like I said, late in Carson's round. He had a couple things that didn't go his way, and those two have battled for a long time. But this was Carson's fifth all-conference selection, so a nice way as a senior. Noah Arndt got his second all-conference. He was all-conference last year as well. And then Griffin Kranz earned his first all-conference honors. So exciting to have those three earn those honors in a very competitive, strong conference. I think we've got four teams in our conference that are, in the rankings, are ranked in the top 15 in the state, and a number of individuals who are highly recognized as well. So it's an extremely strong conference and section.
Okay. And anything else this week?
Nothing with the varsity. Weather took care of that. JV did, as Kip mentioned, JV went over to Raymond to finish out their season Thursday. So we had three of our seventh graders go over there. Broden Tilbury, Carson Tilbury, Keegan Culhane went over there, finished out their season. And it was good to see their progress and their improvements throughout the season for all three of them. Getting better and hopefully they'll continue to work on it over the summer and come back next year as even better players.
Okay. So now it's two Wednesdays in a row.
Two Wednesdays in a row, section tournament at Eagle Creek and Wilmer. We start Wednesday. Tee time starting at 9 o'clock. Boys are teeing off on the front nine for the first day again. Second day, I haven't looked that far ahead, but so it'll be tee times. It'll be the top four teams that will advance to the second day, plus I think the top, 25% of the individuals not on those teams that will advance to the second day of play. So there is a cut after the first day. So we will go over there and see what we can do. It'll be very competitive. We've had three teams in Dawson, Boyd, ourselves, and Central Minnesota Christian have kind of taken turns beating up on each other all spring. So it should be a very competitive section with a few fireworks.
Okay. Well, for the report, best of luck on Wednesday, and we'll hear all about that first round next Saturday morning.
All right, thank you.
Barry Bessonen on Boys Golf will take this break and be talking tennis with Austin Ireland after this.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. At Haugen Insurance Agency, we understand the unique challenges you face every day. With our many years of experience, we are able to assess your needs and match the right coverage with your operation, whether you're a small family farm or a large operation. Our dedicated team is here for you, providing support and expertise every step of the way. Protect your crops and your livelihood with confidence. Visit us on the web at HauganCropIns.com to learn more. Haugen Insurance Agency, a farmer's helping hand.
Chan Hassen Dinner Theaters brings you its most popular show of all time. time, Grease. You'll hear all your favorite hits from the Broadway musical and the movie. Join the whole gang at Rydell High. We'll sing, we'll dance, we'll bring you back to high school life in the 50s. Poodle skirts, bobby socks, the soda shop, and drive-in movies. Grease, it'll rock your socks off. Order your tickets today. Visit ChanhassenDT.com.
Back here at the station talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland, and you're the first team, first sport anyway, to start their section tournament, and your team did well the first round, but then they met a good team the second round, but we'll talk about that. And then like some other sports, so you also not only have team, but you also have individuals, and we'll talk about that as well. So fire away there, Austin.
Yeah, good morning. So we actually had a couple matches on Saturday a week ago. We went down to Laverne. We beat them 7-0. Gunnar Olsen had a win at one singles. Luke Stock at two singles. Brody Boston at third singles. And then singles. So we swept the singles and then ended up sweeping the doubles, too, against Laverne. One doubles, Brody Nelson, Hudson Giese. Two doubles with Tony Reeve and Tom Felton. And three doubles, Cole Percy and Aiden Menning. And we actually had a nice exhibition match, too, with doubles. We had Aaron Will and Landon Hursom. They did a nice job getting a win against Laverne, too. And then we went to we played Pipestone, too, on last Saturday, beating them 6-1. Gunnar got a win at one. Luke had a win at two singles. Three singles, Brody Boston, took care of business. And then Mitchell Myers got a win at four. One doubles, we ended up losing in a tiebreak. That's a good, really good one doubles team that Pipestone has. I think they've only had one loss on the season. That was the one win they had on us, beating Brody Nelson, Hudson Giese. They really do not like tiebreakers. They haven't won a tiebreaker yet this year. Two doubles at Tony Reeve and Tom Felton got a win. And then third doubles, Cole Percy and Aiden Menning picked up the win there. So that was a week ago. That gave us the number four seed, that's good. It was Mother's Day last weekend, so I drove by the court and see how they're pressure washing out last Sunday. So, not quite ready to paint because we couldn't quite host. We had the ability to host, we being the four seed, but courts weren't quite ready yet. So we ended up going down to playing Granite, the number five seed, YME. Staying there on Tuesday in the heat and in the wind. Ended up beating them 5-2. Gunnar Olsen lost at one single, so 6-1, 6-2. Luke Stock losing 6-0, 6-3. And then we had two three setters at 3-4 singles. Brody Boston won in three sets, 4-6, 6-4, and then 6-2. And then Mitchell Myers also winning in three sets, 6-3, 4-6, and 6-4. We swept the doubles. We have a pretty good doubles program. We have usually Hudson and Brody, 7-5, 6-0 at first, and then Tony Reap and Tom Felton, 6-1, 6-2. They took care of business. And then third doubles, Cole Percy and Aiden Menning winning 7-5, 6-1. So that was that was good to get to that semifinal. That's always kind of a goal throughout the season, get out to that. And oh, it was a lot of fun. We went down to Sioux Falls. When was that? Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday night. And, you get to play indoors. And it's really really nice facilities they have there. Houston Family Match Point. I know the girls have been doing that for the last, 4 or 5 years. And we always went into Redwood. But, we got to do that, do the Sioux Falls trip. And, we stayed overnight. They got some court time. It was just a good overall experience. That's always, like you said, that's always a goal as a team, is to get down there and just see what happens. Make it be a semifinalist, it was good team bonding. We ended up taking on number one seed yesterday morning, the Redwood Cardinals, and they're a state bound team. They ended up being a 7-0. A couple good matches there. Brody Boston take it to third set, Zeke Randone. That was about the closest we got. One doubles is good. Ended up losing 6-0, 6-4, and then Three Devils put a fight at the end, but yeah, Redwood Valley, they are really good. They only two losses on the year. That's to a bigger school. I mean, they're one singles kid. Zach Lundeen is undefeated on the year. Just a very talented group. And they ended up beating us 7-0, and then in the finals they beat Benson 5-2, and Benson beating Montevideo in the semifinals matchup earlier. So no, it was a good season for the team. You know, I gotta thanks to, you know, Mr. Brandon Hurley. You know, he's been a great assistant for the last how many years. You know, did a really good job. And we had you know, Dr. Ayaz Virji helping out on Wednesdays. So it's you know, it's good. Got a good group of assistants, good coaches, good people, and great kids, really. So it's unfortunate that, you know, that ends the team portion of our season. But we still got individuals on seating meeting on Tuesday night, and playing at 8 a.m. on Sioux Falls on Wednesday morning. So see what can happen there.
Okay. So what advances to the state tournament after that?
Yeah, so you get so only one team gets to go for the team. That's Redwood, and then individuals. It is the top two go. But on Wednesday, you lose once, you're done. You know, and I know some sports you lose twice or something like that. You can keep going or lose once or something. I don't know, but no, you lose once, you're done. So it's yeah, so we got to get through. You got to win two on Wednesday to get to the semifinals on the following week, I think it is.
Okay.
I just got to take a day at a time, match at a time. But yeah, so then there's, you know, eight teams in the section, so each two representatives. So we'll have two guys from our team playing singles, and then we'll have two doubles teams. So
okay.
So there's a 16-man bracket or person bracket there. So
okay.
Yeah, it should be fun though. I mean, I'm glad that we were indoors. I mean, the drive with that wind the last yesterday,
yes.
Day before, that wasn't fun.
No, that's right.
No, it was a good time, though. Kids had fun.
So you can change your lineup a little bit. You can move some people around for the two singles and also for the two doubles. Have you had that, made that decision yet, or you have challenge matches to determine that, or what?
Yeah, we'll have some challenge matches yet. But usually I think you know, Luke Stock, who's been a captain the last couple of years, he wants to play doubles with Brody Boston, who's a third single. So you have two singles and three singles wanting to move on to doubles. So I think that's, and then Gunnar Olson, he's our one singles. He wants to play singles. He's got a good chance to go to that second day. So that's another big thing too, is, you know, get to that second day and get to the medal round.
Okay.
That's always a big accomplishment. And then, you know, our one doubles, they want to stick together. And, you know, we got Tony Reap and Mitchell Myers, a couple of seniors that want to kind of compete too. So we got to kind of figure that out yet. But hopefully the weather's nice on, decent enough on tomorrow or Monday, so we can get a decent practice outside. But
right. Okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning, and best of luck in the next part of tennis. We'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Thanks a lot. Go Bad Guys.
Okay. Austin, Ireland on boys tennis. We'll take this break and come back after the top of the hour with the other coaches. So.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We've already had a half hour of Coaches Show. Once again, reminder that we do try to get in three coaches in that half hour, starting at 8:30, because we have seven spring sports and got a couple others to talk about. Paul will be talking about a couple others at the end of the show today. The boys volleyball is in action today in Sartell, and he'll be talking about that and a couple other announcements about a former teacher and coach here at Lacaparo Valley. But John Sherb's in the studio talking track. So you had the conference track meet.
We had the conference track meet on Thursday. It was very interesting, you could say, with the wind and wind and wind. It just kept blowing and blowing. The good thing, it was more of a crosswind. It was that more of that west wind, but it was gusty, and it was tough, and the conditions were, not the greatest for the athletes to compete, but you really got to like the way our kids competed. We had a lot of discussion on early the week of understanding this weather is not going to be very nice on Thursday. You got to start preparing yourself already mentally to give yourself a chance. And I said, if you come in early and think, oh, it's terrible, you're not going to do very well. And I thought our kids, were prepared a lot. I thought they were focused. They understood it. And they went through, you look at the way this, we talk about it's not how you start the season, it's how you end the season. That's what we always preach in track, is just because we want to be able to get better. And when you're going to start hearing some things, how things went, it went really, really well for the conditions that it were with, with the crosswind, the rain, everything else. On the girls' side, we knew it was going to be Canby. It's going to be pretty much the top. They got knocked off last year for the conference title, but I just figured they had enough depth. They'll come back. But I knew them and McCray would probably be the top side with that front in there to fight. And then it was going to be the Prinsburg, the Lakeview, and us, I thought, in that next category for the girls. So we could do very well in there. We just don't have enough depth and up in that front side to go with those top two teams. Then the boys, we were going to try to get our third in a row. That was our, we've won it 2 years in a row. We're trying to go for our third title in a row, but it was not going to be easy. Because Prinsburg has gotten very strong this year. They've got a very deep team. Lakeview has got a lot of talent to work with, too. And then also, once you start looking at some of the performances, Tracy Miller had a nice crew of kids. So it was going to be a dogfight. And we talked about that the boys, if you score 110, you got a really good chance to win it. But like I told them, I said 110, but I'd rather have 120 to be safe. And so see how that worked, too. But you really got to like the way the kids stepped up and competed. And like I said, it was a really good performance, and the kids handled themselves well. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run it across left and right on the boys and girls, so it'll be a mix. So boys 100-meter dash. Oh, well, I forgot to mention, they score six at the conference meet. And so top six are points to get. And we talked about it. Sixth place is better than no points. And so we just got to get points. So they will score top two. I consider top two all conference. Third is honorable mention because they give medals out to the top three. But I look at that as that top two is the all-conference, and then third is honorable mention, and the rest is just, your placing. But some coaches do it differently. But in the 100-meter dash, Noah Meyer was our top runner. He was ninth at 13:02. I believe that's his personal best record in 100, the fastest he's ran ever. So that was really great to see him do that. Carson Greppi was 17th at 13:57. And then Gabe Lowry is 24th at 14:01. 100-meter dash, Marin Woolley was 15th overall, 15:01. 200-meter dash. 200-meter dash was kind of one of our tweakers on the boys' side that we decided to change. Well, we had plans this earlier. It didn't work because in bold we were going to get Brayson a chance to run the 200 over there just to get him back into, because we knew we needed him in that race to get us some more team points. So that was a big key for us. So he got in there and just a big race. Him and the Tracy Miller kid, they went neck and neck, and Brayson came up a little short with him, but if Brayson had more reps and everything else in that 200 with a cleaner start, I think he wins by a tenth or two-tenths of a second. Wins it, but he goes second. But he went really, really well. He got second, 23.54. It was basically those two in the front side, and everybody else was fighting for the next places. And then Griffin Kuchemeister was 17th at 28.18. Girls 200-meter dash, also, we could put Micaiah Poos back in there. She had a good one. We ran at Monty, so we tried to get her back in there. She ran a personal best in there. She was fourth overall, 8-0. Sadie Hacker was 14th at 31.28, and then Morgan Anderson was 18th at 32.08. And it was the first time getting Morgan back. She was on the shelf with an ankle injury for about 2 weeks, so we got her back in there. 400-meter dash, Tanner Callis ran really a nice race there. Just got out. He unfortunately was in no man's land, being in eighth lane in the wind. That's a tough spot because, you don't see anybody the whole race. And he ran really a sharp 400. He ran at his personal best in the conditions we had. He would finish fourth overall at 54.49. Caden Brent, our young eighth grader, was eighth at 57.49. And then Cale Tufto was ninth at 59.26.
Faramir Dash. Micaiah Poost was third overall at 105.21. Julissa Ramos was eighth at 107.09. And then Taylor Wood was ninth at 107.49. 800-meter run, Tayden Clark finishing second in there, went 211.33, and he came down to a big kick because he was in second most of the race, and then the Lakeview kid passed him. Well, then he had to get back Lakeview kid because that was kind of team we were trying to hold off to win the title. So if you beat him, it's a two-point swing, and so it really it worked from being down two to gaining two. So he ended up beating the kid down the straightaway to get into second. So, again, start nickel and diming points, and that's what you had to do, and that was key. Bryn Gallegi won the 800. Just she was called negative split. What that means is her first 400 was slower than her second 400. But she just sat and ran really, really smart. Didn't get caught in the front side in that wind, and then took off with about 250 to go and just broke it wide open. She went 228.28, and then Talia Hursum was eighth at 252.33. 1600 meter run, Gavin Carl was second at 450.39. In the mile girls, Chloe Gleggie was third overall at 546.11. You know, she's been up and down all year with a hip injury. It's been fighting her a little bit, but she ran really, really well in there to get that and looked solid in that win to finish third there, and that's her best of the year. And Harper Grunholz was 12th at 646. 3200 meter run. Gavin Carl was third overall, 1047.77. He got kind of caught early in the wind. He had to bite a little bit off more than he should have. But, again, he didn't want to get too slow and then to come back. The other kids kind of sucked off him a little bit and ended up costing him to one spot. But still ran a great time for the conditions. Then Matthew Bothan, our young eighth grader, finds way again. He got sixth place also. That's another point to pick up there. And he went 12:31.59. That's his only time he's ran the 2 mile all year. So, again, he's got a distance-based background, which is good in that he's ran across. He's got the experience, so it was good to have him run. Then Chloe Gleggie, who ran her first 2 mile of the year, and she went 13:07.78 to finish third also. And so she picked up some nice points in there and also for her first time also running it this year. 110 hurdles, boys. Riley Borman was second overall, 19.44, and that was a kind of one of our surprise points that we didn't know what we can get. Plus, also Riley was out for the almost all practice all week because he got caught on an injury at home where he had a chain come off his go kart and flipped and caught him in the back. He had six stitches in his back. So we were concerned, would he be able to even run with a pull of stitches out? So luckily everything went through Thursday. His stitches were solid, so he ran and had a great race there to finish second in there at 19.44. 100-meter girls hurdles, Alexis Olson was sixth at 19.54. Ellstock was ninth at 23.32. Hurdles, Mason Bothan was third overall at 48.01, and then Riley Borman was eighth at 54.32. 300-meter hurdles for girls, Alexis Olson was ninth at 57.12, and Becca Torgerson was 13th at 58.28. 4x1s, and this is the kind of the scary part with that much wind, because you got some kids running into the wind and some kids running with the wind, so you can have someone die their butt off coming into the zone, or you can have someone run someone over in the zone, so you just don't know what you're going to have. But the kids really handled it well. Boys finished fifth. That was their fastest time of the year. They went 48.76. That was Dave Torgerson, Mason Bothan, Noah Meyer, and then Cale Tufto. Girls 4x1 ran their fastest time of the year, which is really good. Again, also Sadie Hacker, Julissa Ramos, Myron Woolley, and Marley Ludvigson, and they went 57.55 to finish fifth. 4x2 boys finished fourth. That was Beckett Anderson, Dave Torgerson, Mason Bothan, and Cale Tufto at 141.89. Girls 4x2, that was Sadie Hacker to Julissa Ramos, Sadie Rosendahl, and Marie Thader. They finished fourth at 159.48. 4x4 finished second. Again, just we're putting kids in who's left, who's survived, because that's, you know, you come down to team points and everything else. We had a good enough set. We were going into that. Finished second. That was Beckett Anderson, Tanner Callis, Caden Brent, and Tayden Clark, and they went 347.03 to finish second. Girls 4x4, they finished third, 424.22. And that was Bryn Glege, Sadie Rosendahl, Micaiah Poost, and Taylor Wood. 4x8, and this is one of the ones we didn't know what we were going to get out of it, because, again, on paper, however else, we kind of thinned our 4x8 down just a little bit because we're going to try to get more points later. They ended up winning, which was really a nice surprise. I didn't quite expect us to win the 4x8. I was hoping we could get second or maybe third, but we won that, and that was a big point for us. But, again, young kids in that one, too. It was Matthew Bothan, Tanner Callis, Tayden Clark, and Cade Solom with 951.56. Girls 4x8 finished second overall also. Another kind of surprise there because McCray had thinned theirs down, and we were just good enough to stay up in front of them, and they finished second. That was Bryn Glege, Harper Grunholz, Talia Hursum, and Taylor Wood at 11-14-9-8. Shot put, this is kind of one on the boys' side. It really was a kind of one of our, you know, you always say this is kind of a surprise. You didn't see this one coming, but Carson Gareppi went big in the shot put. I know Lowry, I was giving him a hard time. Just, you know, he's been sandbagging him all year to kind of have him just kind of surprise the right time. And, boy, he did it right. And he ended up finishing third overall, went 44 feet 2 inches, and that's over feet 4 feet farther. I think it's actually Lowry was thinking it was 6 feet farther than he's ever thrown the shot. So ate his Wheaties. I don't know what happened, but it was impressive, and that was a big surprise on points there. And then Noah Meyer was also 6, so we put two people in place in the shot put there, and he was 39 feet. And then Gabe Lowry was 17th, 30 feet 3 inches. Girls shot put, Isabel Long Henry was 5th at 28 feet. Mikey Ann Elias was 12th at 25 feet 8 inches, and Casey Tweet was 13th at 25 feet 3 inches. Discus, Carson Greppi was 12th overall, 91 feet 4 inches. Girls discus, Casey Tweet was 11th at 70 feet 5 inches, followed by Isabel Long Henry in 15th at 63.4, and then Mikey Ann Elias was 22nd at 48 feet 7. High jump is one of our strengths with we had, and you know, when you have Brayson in that fold, the one, and he had, you know, he's been struggling years, just hasn't gotten his rhythm down. But he looked very, very good. Had one problem at 6 foot, but then cleared 6'2". And he won the high jump at 6'2". With that, for first place, Mason Bothan was 5th at 5'4". And Caden Brent was 7th at 5'2". And again, like you and I were talking, that high jump is so much difficult in that wind because you even get one little flip, he'll fall off very easy. But it's, again, it's a judgment. The officials do judge it, too. If the wind blows it off and the kid clears it, that's going to count. But it's still, you got to be able to, they do nudge it, has the bounce, everything else. And so it's very tough to make that call. But he won that, which was very good because him and the Tracy Milroy kid had a really nice jump off going at that height. High jump for girls, Maria Thader was 2nd overall, 4 feet 10 inches. Sadie Rosendahl was 4th at 4 foot 6 inches. And Mary Holmgren was 12th at 4 foot 2. Pole vault, really, really pole vaulted well. The boys got up. They kind of had some issues early with the wind. But you really got to like the way they came through. They finished 3rd and 4th. Tayden Clark was 3rd overall, cleared 9 foot, had a really nice, I think both boys had really nice attempts at 9-6, and 9-6 is kind of that magic number they've been kind of shooting at, because I know Ben Travis, who coaches them, that's his personal best as a coach, so they all want to shout at him, saying they'd gone his height and everything else and proven that. So, but they both had good marks, and you know, to go 9 feet is big in the wind that we had, and also get us big team points. But like I said, they finished 3rd and 4th. Tayden Clark was 3rd. David Torgerson was 4th. Then Matthew Bothan, since he was around with the 4x8 and the 2 mile, I said, let's just get some vaults in, see how it goes. He cleared 7 foot, finished 10th as an 8th grader, so that's a nice part there. Girls long jump and pole vault, excuse me, is being pulled to Monday. We're going to try to get Harper over that on Monday. They're going to do it Monday at 10 o'clock at Granite Falls, just because of the conditions. The wind got that gusty. They didn't trust it with the bar and getting the kids up, so that we're going to do that. But it didn't affect team, but still want to recognize the kids having a chance to place in the conference meet on that. Boys long jump, Brayson won the long jump. Again, I think he got a decent jump and got a couple jumps in. We were just kind of making sure, cold, damp. We didn't want a chance to poles at all. So he won that 20 feet, 11 and a half inches. Griffin Kuchemeister was 14th at 16 feet, 8 and a quarter inches. He was 14th. And Scott Asfeld was 16th at 15 feet, 8 inches. And I believe both those two young men as ninth graders, that was personal best for them. Girls long jump, Maria Thader was fifth at 16 feet and a half inch. Morgan Anderson was 11th at 14 feet, 4 1/4 inches. Triple jump for girls, Alexis Olsen was fifth at 30 feet, 7 1/2. And then Morgan Anderson was sixth at 30 feet, 7 inches. Boys triple is probably our other one that was our big shocker to help us on team scoring. Was it was nothing on the front side was a surprise, but our second and third jumpers went really, really stepped up huge. Brayson Boyk won it, just a huge jumper. That's his season best. He went 43 feet 5 1/2 inches. So now that really that gets him some rhythm. That's gonna be a mark that's gonna be solid all the way through. If he keeps that and keeps building off that, he'll be just fine with that. But he won that pretty soundly, I think. The way the coaches are talking, I think he only did it once, and then they scratched him out the rest, and he didn't jump anymore just to save his legs, just because they triple jumped first, so he wanted to make sure no issue of a landing like that. So one jump at 43 feet 5, so who knows where he could have gone with more jumps on it. But then our surprise comes. Caden Brent, our young 8th grader, he improves by 2 feet. He goes 38 feet 4 1/2 inches. Just a huge mark in there. The kid was just tickled. You know, you don't get many smiles out of him, but you could tell he had that little grin. He was just really feeling and ran really well, and it was good to see him step up. Then our 9th grade triple jumper.
Where did he place?
He placed 3rd overall.
Okay.
Like I said, 38 feet 4 1/2 inches. Then our other 9th grader finished 5th. He was 2 feet farther also. 37 feet 5 1/2 inches. So those are some big points to get what we have to have a chance to win it, and it really helped. Scoring wise, we ended up winning it with 130. Lakeview was second at 111. CMC was at 91. TMB 81. Cami Medio at 46. Ortonville 32. McCray 32. Wyoming 21. And then Community Christian out of Wilmer was 10. Girls, Cami Mignota won it with 141. They still have the pole vault, but I think all the schools still have a chance. You know, Camby can get some more points. McCray, it's just not going to separate. They're not going to have enough jumpers to get that. McCray was second at 115. CMC was 95. We were at 72. Lakeview at 61. TMB at 30. Ortonville at 9. And then Wyoming at 4. So Harper will vault on Monday at Granite at 10 o'clock. We'll see how that goes with her. So, you know, I really thought these kids really did a great job. And, you know, it's not easy to win in 3 years in a row, just to win it once, to win, to have this put together. And here's the funny thing you think about. Our first meet that we scored, we were at, I think it was Lakeview, our first meet of the year. We scored 29 points. We scored 130 at the conference meet. So it shows where we roll these kids around a little bit. So, and just believing in himself and just in strength and trying to find their strengths. You know, I really like the way the kids excelled. Same thing with the girls. Girls didn't score that many points our first meet, and now we're running really well. So that's kind of things. You know, so really you got to like the coaches, having Joel ran the high jump, and Paul Lowry with the throwing race. Bentley Boyk also helped us in there, with his bouncing back with relays. You know, Dave Thompson's back, Ron Kester and Ted Albert. So we kind of had the whole crew back to make a run, and it was fun watching the kids excel and have it and to enjoy it, because, the funny thing is when you saw the team awards, I think the boys end up having like 15 guys. We aren't big in numbers in the boys, but we can score a lot of stinking points. You know, you get Camby Mignotas with their girls. They got a lot of girls out, and they scored their 140 points, and they must have brought 25 girls out there. So, I mean, we were small, but we scored a lot of points, and that's fun.
Okay, what's in store now?
Now we are in you play side enough, you move on. So we're in playoff time, truly saying. So we will run our subsection meet in Benson on Thursday. I think it's a 4:30 start. I can't remember. They've been changing it around a little bit, but I believe it's a 4:30 start and they may move it up to 4. I'd like, hopefully they got that field events a little bit earlier done. Then they'll probably run running events about half an hour to 45 minutes after the first field event going on. So we'll do that up there. Top 4 in every event will automatically qualify for the section meet. There will also be an at-large. So what happens is they'll take a performance list. They'll take all 3 subsections. They'll take the non-qualifiers, the best marks of the non-qualifiers, and they'll take 4 more. The reason why they do that is so they fill all the lanes. You know, if you score from each one, that's 12, so then you're going to have one lane of eight, a heat of eight, another heat of four. You might as well fill the other one up, put four more in there, and so you have two heats of everything. So you'll have two heats of everything going into the section. So, but we'll run that up at Benson on Thursday. The weather does, I think, looks a little bit better once we get through Tuesday. I think it looks manageable, so I think we'll have some nice weather to compete. So really can find out how these kids can handle once they get in some nice weather. So that will be our next step in the phase.
And then the week after is a section. Where is that?
Week after that will be the same Thursday again. That will be sections at Redwood. Okay. And that's an earlier start. That's like a 2 o'clock field events and running events at 3:30. So that will be a big, long day on that Thursday. And the bad thing with that is I think that's the last day of school for all the kids, so it's just going to be a zoo and a half of that one. But it is what it is. You just wait. The spring is gone. You just don't know. You just kind of open the door up. You look outside. Windy. Raining. Sun. That's what do you do? So,
okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on the subsection. We'll hear all about next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on boys and girls track. With that, we'll be talking baseball with Darby Biergun.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Milan presents the 19th annual A Taste of Setting to Buy Saturday, May 17th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy the Kibbutzide Smorgas Tea at Kibbutzide Church from 10 to 1. Musicians, noon to 2. The Oofda Parade at 2 o'clock. There'll be traditional Norwegian arts, crafts, foods, kids' activities. Check out the Milan Village Art School, Aarhus Museum, Billy Maple Trees, and vendors. Major support from the City of Milan, Federated Telephone Cooperative, and the Milan Lions Club. Setting to Buy in Milan, Saturday, May 17th, and you're invited.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk La Caprile Valley baseball with head coach Darby Biergun. Good morning, Darby.
Morning, Paul.
Well, you got a lot of baseball in this week, huh?
Yeah. Going back to last Saturday, we got four games in, so a lot of baseball.
Yeah, no, and a winning streak.
Yeah, we're on a little bit of a heater right now, so we'll hopefully we can keep it rolling here moving forward.
All right. I don't know if you'd like to be mentioning you got a winning streak sometimes. That's a jinx. But.
As they say, I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious.
Good. All right. How the boys do this
weekend? Yeah, sure. So last Saturday, as we talked about, we had our tournament at home with Adrian and Border West, and we came out of that weekend doing pretty well. We won two games there. So we first started with Adrian. They made the trek up, which was great because it's a section game. And it started out, they scored one in the first, and we backed it up with one in the first. And then they scored one in the fourth, and we put eight up in the fourth inning also. So we kind of blew it open there in the fourth inning. They got three in the seventh, but we had two in the sixth, and it ended up being a 5-11 La Caprile win. So that was a good start to the day. Beautiful morning that day. Dylan Keimig was 1-for-2 with two runs and two walks. Davis Patzer was 2-for-3 with two runs, a double, two RBIs, and he had a sacrifice. Brock Biernild was 1-for-2 with two runs and an RBI. Landon Weber was 2-for-3 with a run. Gavin Meyer was 2-for-2 with a run and three RBIs and a sacrifice.
Brant Schomer had a run. Tyler Earp was 1-for-4 with a run and an RBI. Nolan Smith was 1-for-2. And Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-3 with a run and one RBI. Starting on the mound for us that game was Brock Biernield. He got the win. He went 6 innings, giving up 3 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned. He struck out 8 and walked 4. And Nolan Smith came in for relief, and he threw 1 inning, striking out 2, walking 2, giving up 2 hits, 3 runs, and 2 earned. So, you know, that game was it was a good test for us to see somebody from the South. They had a really good catcher, so we did not move on the bases as much as we liked to. We didn't steal it, but a good start to our Saturday. After we played Border West and Adrian played, Border West came out with the win there, and then we played Border West right after that, and we came out with a 10-9 win in 8 innings. So it was an exciting game, a close game all the way through. We scored 2 in the first. They got 6 in the second, 3 more in the fourth, and then we went 1 in the fifth, 5 in the sixth, and 1 in the seventh, and 1 in the eighth to win it on a walk-off. Dylan Keimig was 2-for-3 with 2 runs, a stolen base, 1 RBI. Davis Patzer was 2-for-4 with a run, a double, and 2 RBI. So Davis had 2 doubles on the day going back to the Adrian game. Lennon Weber was a DH role in that game. He went 1-for-3 with 1 run and 1 RBI. Gavin Meyer was 1-for-5 with 2 runs, a double, and a stolen base. Brant Schomer had 2 runs and an RBI. Grant Bierke caught for us in that game, so that was his first catching as a varsity catcher, so it was good to see him behind the plate, and he did really well. He went 1-for-3 with a run and a stolen base. Matt Arndt had the walk-off walk for us in the bottom of the eighth. He was 0-for-2, but that doesn't always speak for what happened for him at the plate. He had a sacrifice, and he ended up with 2 RBIs on the day. So even though it doesn't show in the hit column, Matt had a decent day getting some runners over and getting the runs in. Brant Schomer had 2 runs and an RBI. Grant Bierke was his first time catching at varsity, and he did a fine job behind the plate for us. He was 1-for-3 with a run and a stolen base. Matt Arndt was 0-for-2 with a sacrifice and 2 RBIs, but he had the big walk-off walk for us in the bottom of the eighth. So a walk counted as an RBI, and sometimes, you know, people look at hits right away, but Matt had a good day at the plate, having a sacrifice and 2 RBIs, getting the runs in for us. And Gavin Mortensen was 2-for-4 with a run. Starting on the mound for us that game was Baxter Kulloff. He will pitch 3 2/3 of an inning, 1 strikeout, 2 walks, 9 hits, 9 runs, and 8 earned. That doesn't really speak for how well Baxter pitched the runs. He, I think some of those runs were some mental errors by our fielders. So, you know, those 8 earned, probably what it should have been. And then Matt Arndt came in and gave us wonderful innings. He got the win, going 4 1/3, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 3 hits. No runs and no earned. So Matt just filled up the zone and did a really nice job on that. So that left us on Saturday going 2-0, having feeling good, going into KMS on Tuesday. Tuesday we went up to Kirkhoven. Actually, we played in Sunburg. The JV played in Kirkhoven. We went up to Sunburg and played on a very, very hot and windy day. And we came away with a 9-2 win against KMS. We didn't really know what to expect because KMS had lost some decent seniors from the year before, and they were right about 500 like we were. So we ended up 9-2 win. There was at times where we had a chance to end it a little bit quicker than 7 innings, but it just didn't come to fruition. Dylan Keimig was 1-for-4 with 2 runs and 2 stolen bases. Davis Patzer was 2-for-3 with 2 runs, 2 RBIs. Brock Biernield was 2-for-4 with 2 runs. He hit a home run, had 1 stolen base and an RBI. Lennon Weber was 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Gavin Meyer had a run and 2 stolen bases. Brant Schomer started his hot streak that we'll talk about here in a little bit, was 2-for-3 with 2 runs, a double, 2 stolen bases and an RBI. And Tyler Earp was 1-for-3 with 1 RBI. And Davis Patzer started for us on the mound, and Davis had his best outing of the year. It was a fun game to watch him pitch. He just hammered the zone, just strike after strike after strike. He got the win. He went 6 1/3. We'd have left him out there, but the pitch count got too high, so we had to take him out. He went 6 1/3. He struck out 10, walked 2, gave up 7 hits, only 2 runs, and only 1 earned run. Nolan Smith finished out for us. He pitched 2/3 inning, striking out 1, walking 1, no runs, and no earned. So, a big conference win for us, and that got our win streak to 5 in a row going into a game against Mineota on Thursday night that was the exact opposite of what it was for Tuesday for weather. Thursday night was super cold and super windy, and we know those elements always play when the balls hit up in the air and yeah. How it's going to be affected. So
it was nice in the press box.
But it was beautiful in the press box. You know, it wasn't bad in the dugout, but out in the field, it was a little chilly.
Well, the wind, that was one of the strongest winds, I can remember.
Right, yeah, it was a strong southwest wind that was coming right into our face in the field. So
it did affect me, didn't it?
There was a few times when we had some balls hit up in the air that flew one way that would have stayed fair or whatnot, and I think there was a hit or two that probably would have had a chance to get out of the park if it wasn't so windy. So we came away Thursday with a 12-6 win over a conference and section team, so pretty excited about that. That brought our win streak to 7, and feeling pretty good right now. We're not always winning super clean, but we're winning, and that's a good feeling. So on the day there, on Thursday, Dylan Kymig was 2-for-3 with 1 run, a double, 4 stolen bases, and 1 RBI. Brock Biernuel was 2-for-4 with 2 runs, a double, a stolen base, and an RBI. Landon Weber had 3 runs and a stolen base. Gavin Meyer had 2 runs. Brant Schomer had a big day. He went 3-for-3 with 2 runs, a double, 4 RBIs, and 3 stolen bases. So he was filling up the stat sheet. Brant had a really nice day for us. Tyler Earp scored 2 runs. Starting on the mound for us was Brock Biernuel. He threw 3 2/3 innings. He had 9 strikeouts, 5 walks, 3 hits, 6 runs, but they were unearned, so he didn't give up an earned run. And Gavin Meyer came in and got the win. He went 3 1/3, striking out 6, walking 2, giving up 2 hits, no runs, and no errors. So that, like I said, that finished 6 in a row, and we were scheduled to play Friday at ACGC, but the weather didn't cooperate with us, so that game is going to be canceled, and we do not have a date to reschedule that. And next week, we go to Minnewaska on Monday, and we finish out our regular season and conference season against Ortonville on Tuesday night. So if you are around the Madison area, we have senior night, going to honor our seniors and their parents, and come on down for some good baseball.
Okay. How'd JV do this week?
Yeah. See if I can remember that. You're making me think here a lot now. That's all right. I believe they won the tournament in Appleton. They played in Appleton on Saturday, just like we did. They beat Adrian and beat Border West, so it was good games. I know the second game, Coach Kittleson was really impressed by the pitching and defense that we had. And then they lost at KMS and lost 5-2 to Mineota.
Okay. All right. Well, when do the seedings come out for section? Next week sometime?
So the coaches will seed before 9 o'clock Wednesday morning, and we should know shortly at Wednesday morning or a little bit after in the afternoon sometime where the seedings are looking at.
And I believe the first round of section play is next Saturday, right?
Yes. Yep, correct. The day before graduation. And just I was just looking at the sections and scores and stuff, and it's tight. There is an outside chance. Dawson looks like they'll have a 1 seed, maybe, depending on wins and losses. And then it's kind of a toss-up right now, depending on how some wins and losses go towards the end of the year. YME, McCray, and us are still kind of in the hunt for the 2 seed.
Okay, yeah, you get that 2 seed, don't you? Get a home.
Correct.
Home playoff.
Yep, the first seed and the second seed end up hosting.
All right, real good, Darby. Well, keep that winning streak going.
We'll try to. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, Darby Biragon, head coach of the Lacapral Valley baseball team. We'll take a break. Come back for more to Coach's Show after this.
Bellingham Farmers Elevator is a full-service cooperative with agronomy, grain, feed, and petroleum. Bellingham Farmers Elevator celebrates May as National Beef Month and thanks their feed customers. Contact Bellingham Farmers Co-op at 320-568-2216 for more details about their feed mill in Bellingham. Ask about custom blends and delivery. Visit bellinghamfarmerscoop.com.
I'm senior outfielder Zoe Doctor in the Lacapral softball team. Thanks to Dugout Club's home run sponsors for their support for our program. I would like to thank Cargill, Clean Sight, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, and Bellingham Legion Post 440.
I'm senior second baseman Kayla Jan, and I would like to thank Lovickson Tiling, Zarbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Dominic Fernals, Fernals Concrete, Appleton VFW Post 4955, and Blake and Ramona Dineen.
I'm senior first baseman and outfielder Jalen Lee, and I would like to thank Clemente Electric, Prairie Sun Bank, the Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, and Q92 FM Radio.
I'm senior shortstop Brandon Meyer, and I would like to thank Ag Country, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer Farms, Home to Home, Appleton Dental Care, and the Appleton Sportsman's Club.
I'm senior pitcher and outfielder Val Piotr. I'd like to thank Piotr Construction, Holly Rod and Gun Club, Kibble Equipment, and Appleton Veterinary Clinic.
I'm senior third baseman Kendall Shelstead, and I would like to thank Trigested, Pioneer Seeds, Madison Chiropractic Center, Traeger Seeds, Joe and Deb Schreier. We thank the Home Run Club sponsors and all donors for supporting our Lacaparo softball team.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacaparo Valley Softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, congratulations on winning the Camden Conference Championship this year.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. We appreciated you being there covering that the really big game against Mineota. Of course, that wasn't the conference championship game, but some might say it was. So it was a really fun opportunity and experience, and just really happy for the girls.
That's right. Yeah, they're pretty happy about that. I know you set goals, right? And that was one of your goals.
We do. It is one of them, and that was the first checkbox. And they have some pretty big goals, some pretty big aspirations, and yet, in my opinion, very attainable.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that Mineota Camby game here in a little bit, but you got a lot of games in this week, didn't you?
We did. You know, and it kind of started with Saturday. Last time we talked, I was on the way to Owasso for a tournament. We played three big games there. We started off our first game there against Redwood Valley, and that's a team that's really turned around. They're still very young. We were able to handle them last year, I remember, but I remember thinking, geez, they're up and coming. And this year they have several 9th and 10th graders on their team, a nice-looking pitcher, and they've just gotten stronger and swing the bats pretty well, too. And I don't know that we were awake that morning. I don't know what the scoop was, but we certainly did not have a great game. We had 8 errors on the day. There's probably even a couple more that didn't get recorded. You can't win games like that. We ended up getting 10 runs in 5 innings, 13-3. And they're a double-A school, but, again, I don't think there's too many teams that in A or even in some cases double-A that are going to do that to our girls. But it happened, and we just talked about, hey, let's shake this off and get into the next game of the tournament. And so for that game against Redwood, we had Jalen Lee was 1-for-3, scoring a run. Kendall Shelstead, 2-for-3. Kayla Jan, 1-for-2, scoring a run with an RBI. Callie Kahn was 1-for-2, scoring a run. It was just a game where we wanted to put behind us. Val Piotr pitched. She threw 4 innings, gave up 10 hits, 12 runs, but only 4 of them were earned, and she had 2 strikeouts and 2 walks. We'll move past that one. But the girls did a great job of regrouping. We played TMB, Tracy Milroy Ballatin, next, who we have seen once in the conference play. So this was a non-conference game in the tournament. And we did an outstanding job of bouncing back, got a lot of hits out there. Jalen Lee went 1-for-4. Kendall Shelstead, 1-for-2, scoring 3 times. Jalen Lee actually scored twice. Brandy Meyer went 1-for-3, scoring twice with 2 RBIs. Kayla Jan, 1-for-2, scoring twice with an RBI. Callie Kahn, 1-for-2, scoring twice with an RBI. Zoe Doctor had a big game, going 3-for-3, scoring once with 4 RBIs. And Aiden Bond was 1-for-3, scoring once. And so we ended up winning that game in 4 innings, 14-2. And in a tournament like that, what they do is instead of a 15-run rule after 4 innings, it's a 12-run rule. And they're able to hit that mark. Greta Fernholz did an outstanding job. She threw for us in that game through all 4 innings, only gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, had 2 strikeouts and no walks. So she really set the tone, and then our stick showed up to play, and we only had 1 error that game, which is big for us. Like we talk about that. If we can avoid getting several out, having to get several outs an inning, we're tough to beat. So I got a big bounce back win there, and then we ended the day on Saturday against Bold, who is a section opponent, played very well there. We came back. We ended up winning 7-0 in that game in 7 innings. We came back with Greta to throw, and she threw a gem. All 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, had 5 strikeouts and no walks. So she's just doing an outstanding job of making girls earn their opportunities on the bases. So I couldn't be prouder, and we'll talk about her shortly too. But offensively, our offensive attack. Sorry, Paul, did I interrupt you?
Nope, that's fine. We're there. Go ahead.
Okay. Offensively, Jalen Lee was 2 for 4, scoring twice. Kendall Shelstead, 1 for 3 with an RBI. Brandy Meyer, 1 for 2, scoring once with an RBI. Kayla Jan scored once. Callie Kahn scored once. Zoe Doctor, another big game, going 2 for 3 with scoring twice with 2 RBIs. And Val Piotr was 1 for 2 with an RBI. Again, 1-7-0 in that game. Then we move on to Tuesday, which was the big one.
Yeah.
And that was Mineota, and they didn't have any conference losses on the year. We let one slip away to KMS, who's certainly not a bad team, but earlier in the season. So this really, the way the conference is set up is, if there's a tie, the first tie break criteria is head-to-head competition. So with the games that we had remaining, we felt like whoever won this game was going to set themselves up. Well, Mineota would have won outright if they would have beat us.
Mm-hmm.
But we felt like we could really take care of business after that. So we started off this game, and, man, it was a fast and furious from the start. And I've got to highlight, too, just two things. Number one, Mineota has, I mean, the Hannon girl is in my opinion, the best pitcher in the area. She's a workhorse. She throws hard. She has a tough rise ball. Is always around the plate. She's tougher than nails.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Maya coming back from injury. I wasn't sure how that was going to go. So she was coming back, and I do want to give a shout out to Dr. Clint Bond, because he's been super working with us to
yep.
get her arm ready and sometimes after hours and all of that stuff. So I'm very grateful for that. So we were able to lock up with what we feel are both of our best teams are. And we started off the game against them and scored 3 quick runs right off the bat. Jalen led off the game with a single. Jalen Lee did. Kendall Shelstead had a great at-bat. She ended up walking. Then Mineota got 2 outs on us, a strikeout and another fielder's choice out. And so we end up having runners on first and second. And Callie Kahn comes up with a huge double, just smokes a double to left center, scores 2 RBIs, and that was big. So Callie's on second, and Zoe Doctor ends up coming up and singles to left field to score Callie. So we take a 3-0 lead to start the game against an outstanding pitcher. And then we get out there, and we end up giving up back to them. And they're offensively they're a juggernaut. I mean, they've got some good hitters, and Heidi does a great job with them. Their head coach, and they run the bases well. We kind of, I'll be honest, we mirror each other in a lot of ways. And
right.
what we talk to our girls about is, and I know it drives people nuts sometimes, but we use the phrase we're stupid aggressive at times. We do things that maybe aren't traditional,
right?
But we like to put pressure on defenses, and every now and then it backfires, but typically it works out in our favor. And so anyway, score's tied at 3-3, and I'm like, holy smokes, what do we have going on here? Two pretty salty pitchers, and we're hitting them, everybody's hitting them around. Well, it slowed down a little bit. The next two innings, in innings 2 and 3, both teams had some opportunities, but pitchers were able to kind of shut the door on things. Mineota scored a run in the bottom of the fourth, so they were up 4-3 at that point. They scored another run in the bottom of the sixth, so they're up 5-3 at that point. And then we had our top part of the order coming up for the top of the seventh inning. Aiden Bond had a great at bat, was able to I believe she walked to get on base. Long story short, Kendall got on. I believe we had 2 runners on,
mm-hmm.
2 outs. Can't remember the whole scenario, but we had Brandy Meyer up with runners on second and third with 2 outs, and she had 2 strikes on her. And I'm like, holy smokes! But she's our 3 hitter. She's one of our best players. Been here, done that, and she comes up with a clutch single to score 2 to tie the game up.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Oh my gosh, it was so exciting. I mean, there were so many big plays, so many momentum twists and turns, and just 2 good teams locking horns and getting after it. So we're tied at 5 after 7. So we go to the 8th. again, opportunities are shaking around for people. Nothing happens. Go to the ninth. Opportunities are shaking around. Just people are battling, gritting their teeth. And then in the 10th inning, and I don't even have this in front of me, Paul. I should.
Yep, I can help you out. I was there.
Yeah, you almost need to. I just, God darn. Give me just 2 seconds here because I want to make sure that I get this right. But in the top of the 10th, Kendall gets on with the single, and I'd said to her, she was in the on-deck circle, I just said, "Hey, Kendall, why not us?" And she had a look in her eyes, and so she starts off the inning with a single to center field. Brandy lays down a bunt. I'm like, "Hey, we're going to play some small ball here and try to get some things taken care of." So Brandy lays down a bunt. She's a beautiful bunt. She's running down the first baseline. The throw is a little off target. It hits her in the back. Both her and Kendall advance, so we've got runners on second and third with no outs. And I'm thinking, if I screw this up, I'm in big trouble. So we had Kayla coming up, and we had her lay down. Gosh, I don't know if my notes are right on this. She laid down a bunt, and isn't that what scored Kendall?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So she laid down that bunt. We score Kendall, and Kendall's got great instincts on the bases. So now Brandy's sitting on third base. So I asked Callie, she's up next. I'm like, and she's been hitting it great. But I'm like, hey, we need this next run. So I have her lay down a bunt. She lays down a great bunt. Brandy doesn't get the jump she needs at third base. They end up getting Callie out at first, and the run doesn't score. And I'm like, oh my gosh! I mean, we had a perfect scenario, but she just didn't have the jump. She made the right decision, and then there was a little pass ball, and Brandy made the jump. She made the decision, and again, we say we're gonna be super aggressive on the bases, and she got tagged out at home plate. So we go into the bottom of the 10th inning, and. Both the Hannon girl and Maya they've thrown the whole game. They're locking horns, and so we're up now 6-5 in the 10th, and the energy in the around the field was just incredible. And we shut the door and ended up, you know, going 1-2. Then there was an error, a fly out to Callie Kahn, who had a nice game defensively too, made some big plays in left field. So I've highlighted this one quite a bit, but it was such a fun game. And we end up walking out of there with a 6-5 win in 10 innings.
Wow, I know. Probably one of the best softball games I've seen in a long time, Scott.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen a better one. We had a dogfight with Southwest Christian a couple times in section play, but this one was outstanding, and just it really brought everything to the table.
Okay. We got a couple minutes here. You had the Ortonville, I think, the next game, right?
Yeah. So then we finished up with Ortonville on on Wednesday. We moved it due to the weather, and we got a 12-1 win against them. In the first game, we have Jalen Lee was 1-for-4, and that was in 5 innings. Jalen Lee was 1-for-4 with a run and 2 RBIs. Kendall Selstead 1-for-1 with 3 runs, 2 RBIs, 2 walks. Brandy Meyer 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Kayla Jan 2-for-4 with a run and 2 RBIs. Callie Kahn 1-for-3 scoring a run. Val Piotr 2-for-3 scoring twice with an RBI. Raya Borsted 1-for-2 with an RBI. Aiden Bond scored a run. Eva Traeger was 1-for-2 with a run. And then in that game, Val pitched that game. She gave up 3 hits in 5 innings, 1 run, 1 earned, 7 strikeouts, and 2 walks. And then the final game was against Ortonville. And this was a big one because if we could win this one, we are the conference champions because we would win against Mineota via head-to-head matchup, and we did. We came out, took care of business, won it in 5 innings by a score of 12-0. And just a couple quick highlights here. Jalen Lee was 1-for-3, scoring twice with an RBI. Kendall Selstead 1-for-3, scoring twice with an RBI. Brandy Meyer 1-for-3, scoring twice. Kayla Jan 1-for-3, scoring once with an RBI. Callie Kahn 2-for-2, scoring twice with 3 RBIs. So a nice game for Callie. Zoe Doctor was 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Val Piotr 1-for-3 with an RBI. Raya Borsted 1-for-2, scoring a run. And Aiden Bond scored twice. And then just to highlight this, Greta Fernholz threw this game 5 innings, no hits, no runs, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts and one walk. So
wow.
Greta got her first varsity no-hitter, and conference championship was confirmed. So we got to celebrate that and had a great time. I felt bad. We didn't even notice it with Greta until everybody had left and Ryan Lee and I were sitting in the dugout and we're like, did anybody get on base? So we celebrated it yesterday at practice.
All right, awesome. All right, section play comes up. That wrapped up the regular season then, Scott.
Yeah, so section play will be hosting on Tuesday with a 2 o'clock p.m. start at Lacaparo Valley. And we hope people can come on out and check it out and support us. Should be some exciting stuff.
All right, we'll share them brackets before we go off the air here. So,
yep, that sounds great. Right. Sounds great.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it, and congratulations again on being Camden Conference champions.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Head coach Scott Swatsky of the Eagles. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Thursday on an all-new Postcards. 102-year-old World War II veteran Del Filkey shares his experiences on board the USS Shipley Bay. Plus, New Ulm's State Street Theater hosts an annual veterans celebration. And catch a sneak preview of Held in Minnesota, untold World War II POW stories. Join us for Postcards, Thursday at 7 p.m. Pioneer PBS.
All right, wrapping up the coaches' show here. Dick Newman and Paul Ramo here. The Section 3A volleyball seedings were released yesterday, softball seedings were released yesterday. Lacaparo Valley received the number one seed. They'll play Dawson Boyd at Lacaparo Valley at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, and you'll hear that softball game right here on Q92. Want to let everybody know the Lacaparo Valley boys volleyball team. They are in Sartell this morning for a 10 o'clock start there. 6 teams involved there, so good luck to Coach Molly Hennen, Andrew Schmidt, and Hope Schmidt there in the Lacaparo Valley boys volleyball team in a tournament. And we want to congratulate a former teacher at Lacaparo Valley, Ryan Giles. Ryan was voted one of the top 10 teachers in the metro area with Fox 9, KMSB TV, this week. So quite an honor there. At Bell Plain, yeah, and Mindy Shermer is also
and
there.
And Steve Schrader.
And Steve Schrader. A lot of former Lacaparo people over at Bell Plain. Dick, you got a sick joke of the week for us?
I got a couple of them. I ordered a deck of cards online, and it's been 2 weeks, and they haven't gotten here yet. I contacted the seller of these, and they assured me they were dealing with it. Let me tell you what I know about leprechauns, very little. I have a pen that can write it underwater. It also can write other words, too. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Deadly storms. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. Multiple deaths from severe weather and large tornadoes. Fox Weather's Katie Byrne is in St. Louis.
We are in one of the hardest hit neighborhoods here on the west side of St. Louis. Roof after roof of homes completely gone. We met some of the neighbors who are out this morning assessing the damage, trying to figure out where to go from here, cleaning up. This is Maurice Jones.
Cleanup efforts. Hopefully people can come out and donate water, food. I know I have a lot of elderly neighbors. They need help with tarps on their houses, clean up.